So good evening to everyone who's joined us, and thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. So my name is Saoirse de Klerk, and I am the founder and the managing director of a non-profit company by the name of the Joseph Movement. And we focus on human trafficking, and we focus on various ways and forms in which we can help combat human trafficking. And so the talk today is entitled Human Trafficking, Visible Yet Unseen. And it's very important for us to understand the terminology when it comes to human trafficking. The actual term human trafficking is so deceiving because transportation is not a prerequisite for human trafficking to take place. So just briefly, a definition of human trafficking is very simply, it takes place when a person is either coerced, forced, or tricked into a situation for the use of either their body or for their labor. So that's just a very simple summary of what human trafficking is. It's also very interesting to note that human trafficking is the fastest growing organized crime in the world. And I'm sure you all know which one is the fastest organized crime in the world. That is obviously the drug trade, and human trafficking is just right behind it. So this is a recent report from the UN, their Global Report, and you would see when you look just quickly at this pie diagram, labor trafficking and sex trafficking are globally the two greatest forms of human trafficking, and they are also the most common forms of human trafficking that most of us are aware of. But what's very important is we need to understand that human trafficking is so much wider, and we are surrounded by it every day, and often we actually come across victims without us realizing. So when it comes to South Africa, we know that South Africa is a source, transit, and a destination country for human trafficking. And human trafficking, very important to know, is it's a silent and a hidden crime, and I'll go into that a bit more later on. Also, what we see in South Africa is most cases of human trafficking take place from rural areas to urban areas, and from what we know from our reliable sources, which is not government statistics, but actually from the Slavery Index, the Global Slavery Index, and also from the UN, as well as from our National Human Trafficking Hotline. South Africa does have a National Human Trafficking Hotline, is that there's approximately 160,000 people in South Africa that are trapped in human trafficking at any given time. And some of the local contributors of human trafficking in South Africa, you would see, we're not surprised by them. The first is our porous borders, high unemployment, of course, cultural practices, which I'll also go into a bit later, and then the blesser-blessee phenomenon, which I'm sure many of you have heard of, and it's something that I remember years ago used to be quite popular in magazines or newspapers, you know, a blesser requiring a blessee, and this is something that's still taking place quite a lot in South Africa, and it's a form of entrapping vulnerable people into modern-day slavery. Then we also have child-led households or absent parents. And that is, of course, something that happens a lot in, you know, the rural areas. And then, of course, technology and pornography. that are contributed to human trafficking within South Africa. So this is just a quick view to give you an idea of some of the faces of human trafficking. There's actually a number of 18 to 20 forms of human trafficking, and I will go into a little bit more detail for each one of them pretty soon. So let's look at the first one, sex trafficking. And we know that that is one of the most common forms of human trafficking, and it of course includes pornography, and it includes prostitution. We have a country at the moment who has been considering the legalization of prostitution. They tried to table it last year in December, very tactfully, while many people were trying to, you know, wind down and prepare themselves for holidays and so forth. So many of us NGOs and professional individuals had to jump in and start the fight against this idea. And it was not a case of we are going to be legalizing prostitution. It was a case of fully decriminalizing prostitution. And that meant not only making prostitutes or those trapped in prostitution legal, but it also meant that brothels, pimps, and so forth would have been made legal. So we praise God that earlier this year they decided that, you know, it goes against so many of other forms of legislation, including our Pacotive Act, which is our Human Trafficking Act in South Africa. So it's been shelved for a while, but we know that it will come up soon. And we want the public to be aware of it, because our government is actually using and twisting terminology in such a way so that our civil society is not informed properly in order to fight the battle. For instance, as I said, they would talk about legalizing prostitution, which is so deceptive. It is actually fully decriminalizing prostitution. The other form of human trafficking is forced begging, and this is unfortunately something that we see a lot in South Africa. We see it especially with women, and we see it a lot with children. And we find that it's mostly children that are being forced into the situation, you know, to beg on the streets. If they don't go back to the trafficker, they get punished. And, you know, if they don't bring back money or some food or any form of gift, then there is a form of punishment. And, of course, fear is the modern shackle, if you want to call it that. Another form of human trafficking, domestic servitude. We see that a lot in some hotels, motels, where people are living under very harsh conditions. They are being abused, some aren't even being paid, and some of their identification documents, if they're foreigners, are being taken from them. So they're living in fear. So what's happening is that with this form of modern day slavery, we are not talking about people being necessarily tied up or shackled. We are talking about people that are being held captive through fear. For instance, not just threats to their lives or to the lives of their families, but also threatening foreigners, for instance, that they would be handed over to the authorities because the identification documentation were taken from them by the traffickers. Labor trafficking, which is quite well known, of course. Prostitution, as just mentioned. And then we have an horrific form of human trafficking that's called snuff movies. I don't know if anyone here is aware of what that is, just by raise of hands. Does anyone know what a snuff movie is? Okay. Alright, so snuff movies are movies that are made for the dark web, and that is when a victim is tortured and killed on camera, and those movies are then uploaded onto the dark web. Then we have Zamazamas. So Zamazamas, we know, are illegal minors. We are not saying that Zamazamas are all trafficked victims, but we do see that many become trafficked and then they are lured or tricked into illegal mining, and we see that especially with the children. Then we also have baby and organ harvesting, which is a complete disgrace in itself. We had a case a couple of years ago which was very encouraging. And what does happen is that, especially in the black African community, women go and they give birth. It especially happens with women who are pregnant with multiple babies, and they are told that, you know, either most or all of their babies did not survive, and then the babies are used for illegal adoption or they are used for muti. And the same goes for the organ trafficking. Then another form of human trafficking is child soldiers. We don't have that much obviously coming into our country, but we have had quite a number of reports of our children that go missing from South Africa that are taken into war-torn countries. Forced marriages. So this would touch on some of the cultural practices that I've mentioned to you. We have a cultural practice in South Africa called ukutwala. Now, ukutwala is originally actually a very beautiful cause of practice, but unfortunately it has been twisted throughout the years. And what's happening now is that young girls are being taken forcefully from their families, and they are handed over to older men for marriage and for domestic servitude. Another form of trafficking called bachabazi. Bachabazi stands for boy play, and that is a practice where young boys are forced to entertain older men. They dance for them, and then they are also used for sexual pleasure. And then lastly, we have forced illegal activity. And this one is always very, very interesting to discuss and to really think it through. This is how wide human trafficking really is. I mean, we often hear about all these crimes, you know, break-ins, murders, a snatched purse, and so forth. And in many of those cases, those perpetrators are actually victims of human trafficking. And this is something that we need to be aware of as well. We do work with SAPS to try and also train them and educate them, because there is so much that they carry on their shoulders and so many things that they need to deal with. That human trafficking we see is often actually just placed, you know, at the end of the line. But in the meantime, a lot of what they are actually dealing with is being overshadowed. So that is a very big problem within South Africa. So just something a little bit more positive. So we have in South Africa what we call the Pathways Act, and that's the prevention and combating of trafficking in persons. So often, you know, you would hear the educated would talk about TIP, but it's just short for trafficking in persons, and that's of course human trafficking. So South Africa's Pathways Act is actually considered globally as one of the best pieces of legislation to help combat human trafficking. However, it still needs to be implemented properly, unfortunately. It's also most of the relevant legislations when it comes to human trafficking, and it is always very important for law enforcement, social development, and so forth, to know that it supersedes acts such as the Sexual Offences Act and the Children's Act, for example. So some interesting stats around human trafficking globally. So we see that approximately 45 million people are trapped in human trafficking today, and that means it's 5 out of 1,000 in the world that fall victim to human trafficking. And what a scary stat is this. Trafficking occurs every 30 seconds. It is an estimate though. In South Africa, there's approximately 155,000 victims, and that's a stat that I needed to update. We are now up to 160,000 victims trapped in human trafficking at any given time. And also the average price globally per trafficked victim, or of course you can call them a modern day slave, is $100. And from our reliable sources, we have learned that only up to 2% of trafficked victims ever get saved or manage to escape. And for that reason, the Joseph Movement exists, because prevention is absolute key. It is so important that we educate the public, and especially our children, on what is human trafficking and what are the red flags. So as I've mentioned before, unfortunately, human trafficking is a hidden crime and it's a silent crime. If you think of some of the pictures that I've shown you, I mean, we look at the domestic worker and we don't necessarily see that there is a problem. We perhaps walk into a shop and we talk to the person across from us, serving us, and we don't realize that that person has been tricked from his country into our country. His identification documents have been taken from him. He's trapped. His life being threatened. The life of his family is being threatened. And that's why he stays. That's his shackles. We had a situation not very long ago where we did an outreach in a very well-known mall here in the Western Cape. And as God planned it, we were right in front of a shop, and I was standing with some tracks in my hand, and this shop was one of those, you know, those Pakistani kind of shops, the ones where you would go in and they'll fix your phone, and they can just absolutely fix any problem of your phone, or you can get a cover or accessories, etc. And here I'm standing with the tract in my hand, and what is this tract called? It is, I don't see it on the table there, but it says big on the front of the cover, "Let's talk about porn." I was like, and I had this voice saying to me, "You need to go into that shop and give these tracts to those men." There were 3 men in the shop. And they looked Pakistani, you know, and I immediately thought to myself, these are Muslim men, Lord, and you want me to go and give them these tracts. But anyway, after a while, I did force myself, and I went in, and they were very friendly, and we started chatting, and I handed it over, and I was just hoping they won't look at the title, and then they just asked me, you know, what are you doing? And so we started chatting, and I spoke to them a little bit about human trafficking. And then after that conversation, I walked out, and about a half an hour later, one of the men came to me, and he asked me specific questions, and that already raised a red flag. And about 2 days after that, that man was rescued. The hawks went in, and they removed him immediately from the shop. What had happened was him and his cousins were lured into South Africa with promise of a good income, and they'll be able to look after their families and so forth. And as they landed, their traffickers, or so-called employers, removed all the identification documents. He was actually working for 3,000 rand. He had to pay 2,000 rand back every month to his traffickers. And he was living in absolute fear because they often threatened his family. He also showed us that he had two phones, two cell phones, the secret phone and the one that they would check on a regular basis. So these are just some examples of what is actually happening right under our noses. So yes, so victims don't often ask for help, obviously because of fear. There's also often a language barrier or cultural barrier, etc. And many are traumatized, especially those who are trapped within sex trafficking. And then some victims resort to accepting perps. So this is one of the very big problems that we are faced with. I mean, obviously being a trafficked victim, you suffer a lot of abuse, and we see it especially within prostitution, that some of the ladies will accept perps, and that would mean that they are taken out of that situation of having to sell their bodies, and they live under better circumstances, but they then need to go and find other victims to work within the sex industry. So some of the solutions when it comes to this fight, and so the Joseph movement focuses on creating awareness, and we do that through media awareness, talks, trainings, we do workshops. For instance, we do training not just on awareness to help people understand the different faces of human trafficking, but also to help them notice possible human trafficking victims or human trafficking situations, as well as what can they do, what is the correct process of reporting. Then also community outreaches and street outreaches, that's very important. We especially focus on the vulnerable communities, because we know that human trafficking preys on the vulnerability of people. And on that note, I just want to mention, often when we talk about the vulnerable, we think of, you know, women, we think of children, we think of men even in desperate situations wanting to feed their families, etc. But there's also another vulnerability that all of us have, and that is our dreams. And we see that with a lot of the children, there are two very popular ways in which the traffickers are luring our children and tricking our children into human trafficking. The one is the modeling industry. And the other one is sports, specifically soccer, when it comes to the black African boys. So that is on the increase and very prevalent in South Africa. And then yes, so this is my favorite, is going into schools. We also go into some of the, even the preschools, and we do talks and little skits and presentations. We use props, we use stories, we use movement, we use drama, video clips, etc., to train and to teach the kiddies. And then, of course, we strongly believe in collaboration and partnership. This is not a fight that you can just do on your own. We have a number of people who are very passionate within South Africa about the fight against human trafficking, and many of us focus on preventative education because that is key. Just remember that statistic. Only up to 2% of people ever manage to escape or get saved. So we work very closely with A21, Missing Children South Africa, and also Youth for Life. Youth for Life does not focus specifically on human trafficking, but they are an organization that already has the foot in the door to many early childhood development centers. So we kind of piggyback on them. And that is how we cross-pollinate. So it's very important for people to, for organizations to work together. And then also the National Freedom Network. That is actually South Africa's network that keeps all the other NGOs and professional individuals accountable who work within the anti-tip arena. And that's very important because we have to always stay up to date with regards to legislation, with regards to what's happening in the media, and with regards to training and so forth. So I'm very grateful for the National Freedom Network. Okay, and just for those who would like to maybe pass on this information to family and friends, there's a Namola app. There's also other apps, but I would strongly recommend the Namola app. It's an app that I have on my phone. It's a safety app. It has a panic button. And there are private security companies that actually work with Namola. I practice often with my phone, you know, like Peter would practice, you know, pulling out his knife and flicking it. So that's what I do. I often practice with my phone, and I can unlock my phone and I can click that button so quickly, the panic button. So it's a very nice feature to have on your phone, especially for ladies. And then also there's quite a number of parental control software that one can use. We've seen with COVID, online exploitation has skyrocketed. The traffickers are working smarter. So online grooming is a big thing. So with some of our programs, we also focus a lot on speaking to parents and to teachers. And we expose some of, or many of, the dangers of apps, even many well-known apps, and also how you can safeguard your family. And then there's an amazing program that's run by Stop Trafficking of People. They are actually situated here in the Western Cape, and it's called Prevention versus Cure. So that's a vetting agency. And they provide this service free of charge. And I just want to encourage all of you, please, remember prevention versus cure. you can Google it. You'll very easily find it, and it's very simple to make contact with them. So what they do is when a person is offered a job or any offer, any contractual offer, whether it's a modeling contract or whether it's a sports contract or anything like that, they would actually go and investigate that offer for you, and then they will come back and they will tell you, no, too many red flags for you, do not suggest you using or going for the interview. So remember, prevention versus cure. They offer an amazing service. Okay. Well, while this is giving me a hard time, are there any questions or any comments? Yes, sir.
All right. So human suffering goes hand to hand with drug therapy. I was told this long ago. Human therapy was together with drug therapy. I was told in this course.
Most definitely. I fully agree with that. That is so true. In fact, I would love to just go back to the presentation, because there is a picture there that I would like to point out. And you're 100% right. So that would fall under the forced illegal activity. Yes, most definitely. We know of a number of cases where ladies are used to traffic narcotics. And what happens is they actually use their braided hair. I want to show you so badly what that looks like. So they use their braided hair and they, here we go. And they braid it into their hair. But of course, as we know, there are so many ways of doing this. There we go. That lady looks very funky and so forth. But from a scalp all the way up to about here is filled with.
Years ago in Queer, I was in the mobile squad of the police, and at the very dance at night, the pink lighter comes on the market, and with the hair in the darkness, and the sailors and whatever, you flick the big thing, just pick it up. And it's not funny. And you switch all the lights on.
Okay.
And it looks so lecker and nice, so.
Yeah.
And you open and you put it on again, and all the air and the pricker and sort of sovereign.
The
copper is all started.
Oh, shame. Yeah, so this is actually the extent that they would go to, and that is how people are being used and exploited. With the one case with the lady, it's not that lady that I showed you, it was another lady, and they did exactly the same with her. but she was caught. And then, you know, it's not much skin off their noses. You know, it's to traffickers, it's just really, you're just really a number. And that is the problem with human trafficking. One of the reasons why human trafficking is such a fast-growing illegal industry is not just because it is mostly a hidden crime. It is, you know, something that is silent and it is overshadowed by so many other crimes, as you've now just mentioned. One of the reasons why we try and work with SAFs and try and also just train them when it comes to you know, identifying trafficked victims is because they would do a drug bust and then a whole bunch of ladies within this house would be locked up and they would be treated, you know, like criminals. But in the meantime, they've not been assessed. They are high, but they are sex trafficking victims. And these are the problems that we are sitting with, unfortunately.
Drugs is always involved, always.
Your drugs and money.
Always.
I would like to show you this universal distress hand signal. We don't teach this to the children because then it's going to become useless. But this is actually something that was introduced by an organization during COVID to help when it comes to domestic violence. And there was this amazing post that went around. A young lady's life was actually saved just by using this hand signal.
Yes,
so it's
yes.
Something that we, you know, so it's an amazing hand signal that we really try to teach everyone. So it's very simple, you're just tucking in your thumb and down. And so she was going like this by the window, the back window, the whole time. And someone noticed. And they were quick enough to do something, to take down the registration and to phone and so forth. Okay, and here's just some important contact information. The most important one for all of us to memorize. And I can promise you it's a lot more useful than 10111. My apologies to our ex-cops here. I've tried 10111. Sometimes I phone them just to test, but I never get an answer. So the National South African Human Trafficking Hotline number is 0800 222 777. It's a very easy number to remember. That is the first number besides my own cell phone number that I ever taught my child. So 0800 222 777. And I just want to encourage everyone, you know, we always feel like, oh, you know, is even going to make a difference if I go to the police or if I make a phone call. It can make a difference, and we see it time and time again. So when it comes to human trafficking, if you suspect or if you know of a human trafficking situation or victim, what you need to do is, unfortunately, a painstaking process, but you can save a life and you can possibly save multiple lives. You have to go to your nearest police station, open a docket, and get a case number. And you ensure that whatever information you have, you put in as much detail as you can into that docket. And then when you're done there, you phone the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And you give them the case number. And you also obviously give them all the information you have. And then what they do is they then would be the squeaky door for steps. They will be on them all the time. And they also have private people that also help to investigate. And eventually the hawks would become involved if there's enough evidence that yes, this is a human trafficking case. What we've also seen is with some cases or dockets that are opened, nothing comes of it yet. But then what happens is there are multiple reports, and that helps with convicting a trafficker, because each case or report brings a piece of the puzzle, and that is very, very important when it comes to convicting traffickers. So reporting, just going out of your comfort zone and getting that case number, phoning the human trafficking hotline. The human trafficking hotline is not managed or funded by a government. And they are passionate people, and they do it because their hearts are in it. So please remember that number. Once again, in case you forgot it. Okay. And that is all I wanted to share with you today. There are so many ways in which one can get involved in helping to combat human trafficking. I'm not standing in front of you today and asking you to, support the Joseph Movement. I'm standing in front of you and asking you to please remember what I've shown you today. Please remember the different faces of human trafficking. Please try and look out in your everyday life if there's anything suspicious that you may see. You can phone the human trafficking hotline. If you don't want to go to a police station, you can phone the human trafficking hotline, and they're very open to that. You can report to them, next door XYZ is happening. I'm not sure if it's human trafficking or what it is. And they will guide you, and they can also send people to investigate. So I always say, rather be wrong and report it than be right and not report it. So never be afraid to contact them. It's also a toll-free number, and you can remain anonymous as well. So please do make use of that amazing service. And also, I'm not standing in front of you for the Joseph Movement only, but I'm asking you please to advocate for the cause. We are absolutely surrounded by human trafficking every single day, and I know for a fact that I've come across many victims without realizing, and it breaks my heart. And that is why I do what I do. I hope that I've instilled something in your hearts today, even if it's just the human trafficking hotline number that you won't forget.